We're going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible. And if you've got a Bible with you, please open it. There's nothing like reading directly from the Word. But if not, no worries, because it's going to be on the screen. And it's from Psalm 130. That's the Psalm we're going to read this morning. Psalm 130. I'm just going to give you a few moments if you have got a Bible with you to try and find the page. Psalm 130, and the psalm is called Waiting for the Redemption of the Lord, and it's a song of ascents. So let me read. Out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark my iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for the Lord is there, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all its iniquities. What an amazing song. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. Precious prayer time and a precious reading of the Word of God, Psalm 130. Let us pray. Father, we pray that as we consider your Word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would continue to encourage your people, that you'd open your Word that we might hear the voice of God through the Word of God this morning. And we pray that you'll bring communion amongst us, bonds of healing and peace, restoration, and even in the grace and by the grace of God, joy that comes through knowing you and trusting you in every situation. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in his exegesis of Psalm 28, which he called and entitled Sacred Solo, shared the story. You may perhaps have heard of Collini, one of the most celebrated clowns of the beginning of the last century. He was a man whose wit and humor kept all Paris in a roar of laughter. But he himself had little share of the cheerfulness that he simulated so well and simulated so much. His comedies brought him no comfort. Though a professor of mirth, he was himself a victim of melancholy. He consulted a physician and asked him for a prescription to relieve his lowliness of spirit and his habitual despondency. His physician gave him some medicine, but advised him by way of recreation to go to the theater and hear Carlini, whose fun and frolic were of such repute. If he does not fetch the blues out of you, nobody will, said the doctor. Alas, sir, I am Collini. Alas, sir, I am Collini. Today, as we share in the communion service, the communion is for all who will come. The service itself cause us to come to Christ. But as we look at Psalm 130, I especially this morning want to talk through, by God's grace, this psalm to the Carlinis in our midst. To the Carlinis who instruct and teach others, but who themselves don't have anyone to instruct and teach them. To the Carlinis who will smile on the outside and try and encourage and build up the person and the people that they meet within the church and in the community, but don't have others come alongside them and smile and encourage them. To the Carlinis in our midst, who will share and contact and phone and encourage as many of those around that they can, but who in turn don't receive anyone contacting them. Who at night feel the melancholy and the aloneness that comes sometimes through circumstances. Well, it is to you, brother and sister Carlini, that Psalm 130 speaks today. And I want us to listen to the heartbeat of that psalm. I would like us to come close and lean in and, as it were, put our ear next to the heart of Psalm 130 and listen for the heartbeat of that psalm. And what is the heartbeat saying? The heartbeat of Psalm 130 is saying this. It's saying, cry, wait, hope. Cry, wait, hope. Whisper it softly. Cry, wait, hope. Cry, wait, hope. You hear the heartbeat? Hear the heartbeat of that psalm. And as we come, we see that right at the beginning, the psalmist reads out and he calls out and he says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. The psalms remind us that the depths can overwhelm us in circumstances. Sometimes we are told that the psalmist cries out of the very depths of the earth. I cry to you, O Lord. Sometimes the psalmist reminds us that I cry out of the very depths of the ocean. I cry to you, O Lord. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by circumstances. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by circumstances. And we have nowhere to go but to cry out to the Lord. Sometimes those circumstances come from situations that we have no control of. Those in St. Vincent that we've been praying for and trying to support in recent weeks on that island of St. Vincent, that beautiful island, we see the devastation as the volcano has rocked their island and smashed their homes and destroyed their lives and their businesses. Sometimes circumstances overwhelm us and we find ourselves in the depths. and we have nowhere to go. The circumstances in India that we are seeing at the moment as COVID runs rampant, overwhelming not only a city, not only overwhelming a region, but overwhelming almost the whole of the country. And those who are caught up in that are overwhelmed by circumstances that they could not really have controlled and was out of their control. Sometimes circumstances overwhelm us. And when we are feeling overwhelmed and are finding ourselves in the depths of life and in the depths of situations that we had almost nothing to do with but have come across us, we, like the psalmist, need to hear the psalm today, and we need to say, Lord, out of the depths of my circumstances, I cry to you, O Lord. I call to you from the depths of my ocean, the depths of my situation, the depths of my circumstances, and I cry to you, O Lord. I reach out to you, O Lord. I need you, O Lord. And we cry out. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by the cruelty of others. Sometimes we will be walking along to school if we are a young person, or we are going along in the bus, or we might get to a place and work, and someone just says something that's really cruel. You know, I've often thought that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is so wrong. It's words that hurt. Now, I'm not talking about disagreeing and honest disagreements and discussion. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when someone just deliberately hurts with their words. It stings. Bullies are very good at that. Bullies are so good at that in the playground, putting you down. Teachers sometimes, without realizing it, cut their students to the heart by saying something in the moment, and it just is a life-impacting word that pierces their heart. Sometimes situations that we just see that are so cruel overwhelm us, and in the overwhelming cruelty that we sometimes see or experience, we can only but cry to God and say, Lord, I give this to you. And then sometimes the circumstances are what we bring upon ourselves. We sang it so beautifully in the worship this morning. Lord, if you count our transgressions, who can stand? In Romans chapter 3, in the midweek Bible study, we were all reminded again so clearly that there is no one who can stand before God, for all of us have sinned. And it's that sin that we have to come and deal with at the cross. It's that brokenness that we have within ourselves that we have to come and confess at the cross. It's that situation that we are allowing to harbor in our heart that we've got to bring on our own to the cross and ask for forgiveness. Lord, out of the depths of my iniquity, I cry to you, forgive me, Jesus. Heal me, Jesus, from the depths of my heart. Out of the depths, I have cried to you, O Lord. We hear the rhythm of the psalm, cry, wait, hope. Cry, wait, hope. And so the psalm encourages us to wait. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And what the psalm is saying is when we are overwhelmed, when we are in the depths, when we are crying out to God from a situation that overwhelms us, and we cry and seek God's help, then we must wait on the Lord. We must wait on Him. Wait on Him. Another way we hear it is, be still and know that I am God. When you are crying out to God from the depths and the circumstances overwhelm you and you're feeling like you've got nowhere to go, be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall rise up. But we must learn to wait on the Lord. When I'm broken, when I'm alone, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm in grief, when I've got nowhere else to go, the Lord says, wait on me. Another way of saying that is, lean on me. Wait on me. Wait. And in that waiting, God promises something amazing. Because as we cry out to God from the very depths of our being, we cry out to God in a cry that can only He knows the depths and the pain and the agony that has brought that cry into place, into fruition. When we cry out to God and the tears are falling at night, and when we don't have anyone else to turn to, we now wait and lean on Him. Something amazing happens. When we do that, when we learn to do that, God reaches out to us. I was listening to a story yesterday about a man called Tom Briggs. Tom Briggs was a child. As a child, his parents had divorced at a young age, and his mom was an alcoholic. She used to go out and drink, and she would come home and sleep it off. And often he would be late for school and not prepared for school. He remembers as a young child in grade one, going to school and the teacher saying to him, Tom, is your mother not well again today? Is your mother not well? And he remembers even at that age having to try to cover up, even at that young age, that something was wrong with his mother, and he was trying to cover it up. And he spent his whole life trying to deal with that situation. And he used to go to chapel, the nuns. He was at a Roman Catholic school, and the nuns took him to chapel. And he remembers sitting in the church there, and he looked up, and he remembers the cross. And he says, on the cross, I saw the statue of Jesus on the cross. And one day, when I was starting high school, I looked at that cross, and I said to myself, you are just something. You are a God that is still on that cross. You cannot come down and save me. I have to save myself. And he said he poured everything then into his books and into his studies and into everything he could do. And he was a very intelligent child. And he succeeded because of that desire and his hiding from life. He succeeded really well. And eventually he went to medical school and he became a trauma doctor at the Mayo Clinic, one of the great clinics in America, dealing with trauma, dealing with crisis situations, and he was a surgeon involved in that. And he got married and he had this beautiful home, but he said, all the time I was doing these things, there was something buzzing inside of me. He called it a buzz of discontent, a buzz of emptiness, a buzz of knowing something was not right. And the harder he tried to work, the more hours he spent at the hospital, the buzz didn't go away. He couldn't get rid of the buzz, and it impacted him, and it caused him to fight in his home, and there was a split with his wife, and he had this beautiful home, but he had nothing. And then he came to a point, he said, I've got to stop the buzz. I can't do this anymore, this buzz of heartache, this buzz of discontent. And he took, he put poison, medical poison in a syringe, and he was about to take his life and stick it in and go forever. And just as he was about to do that, he just thought, okay. He said, because of his upbringing, I don't know, but he said, Lord, I don't know, I can't do this anymore, but if you're there, it's like I've been waiting for you all my life, but Lord, I can't do this anymore. And he said, if you're there, can you show me? Before he was going to put it in. And he said, I'd given myself 5 more minutes to wait. 5 more minutes. And he said, I was ready to take my life. I couldn't do it anymore. And he said, as he lay down and as he took the injection in his hand, he just sensed God saying to him, I'm here. He heard it in his heart. As he turned after trying to run away and hide from God all those years, the moment he waited for God, he heard God say, I am here. And he said, he just dropped the syringe, fell on the floor, and he stood up and the pain, the buzz was gone. He said, I can't describe it. I can't explain it. My life is a mess, but I knew that God had heard me in my cry, in my distress. God heard me. Psalm 130 is saying, don't run from God. Turn back and wait on God. Be still and wait on Him. Cry to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And then the psalm says this. It says, when I, out of my cry, learn to wait on the Lord. A very, very important word. And in His word, I do hope. How do we wait on the Lord is the question. How? We wait on the Lord in His word. We wait on the Lord in His word. It is by reading the word of God, by memorizing the word of God, by saturating ourselves in the word of God. There are no shortcuts. It's being in the word of God, even when I don't want to read it, when I don't feel like reading it, when I'm overwhelmed, go to the word, in the word. That's what it's saying. It's saying, you want to wait on the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word do I hope. And then he says this. My soul waits for the Lord. O Israel, in verse 7, hope in the Lord. Another way of saying it today is, O church, hope in the Lord. It's a great privilege to preach, to be asked to preach in a little Baptist chapel down in Horsham, where Edwin Mote was the pastor. And we know those precious words that Edwin Mote wrote when he was there. Beautiful words. And those words from that immortal hymn that he wrote was something amazing. If you go into the chapel and you are preaching out, there's a plaque at the back that you can read, and it's his words from that amazing hymn that he wrote when he was the pastor there. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And for anyone who goes there and has given the great honor and privilege, only by the grace of God, to be able to stand in that pulpit and look out and see those words, you're reminded that you are treading on land where giants once stood. You're reminded that you're almost standing on holy ground. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And when you go outside, they've moved the gravestones and they've made a like playing area for the children, and it's all grassed over, but they've put the stones on the side. And there on his stone, on the side wall, the rest of that verse, I will not trust the sweetest frame. And I think, what does that mean, frame? Is it frame of mind? frame of body, frame of religion. It perhaps means all of those things, but I will not trust in myself. No matter how well I think I'm doing, how religious I think I am, or whatever else life can give, I will not trust anything, but I will wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so today, the heartbeat of Psalm 130 beats for us. Cry. Wait. Hope. Cry. Wait. Hope. And as we share in this table today, we remember Jesus' words. As often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you do so in remembrance of me. Paul says even further, he says, we eat of this bread and we drink this wine in remembrance of Christ until he comes. Until he comes. And so our hope isn't just on the hope that the blood of Christ has taken away our sins. Our hope isn't just that the blood and the communion of Christ can bring healing to our desperate situation and to our hearts and to our bodies. Our hope is that Christ is coming again, this time riding on the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So as we prepare for the service of crying before Christ, waiting on Christ, hoping in Christ, let us just quietly reflect as we prepare to take the bread and the wine. I'm going to ask Isilma to come on up, and in a while, if possible, Richard as well. Come on, Isilma, as we prepare for the communion service.